19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. So we're talking about from devastation to restoration, part number 2. From devastation to restoration, part number 2. Now notice the title even connotates there. It's a process. It's a purpose from God. God wants to take you from devastation or areas of devastation to full, complete restoration in your life. But it's a purpose, but it's also a process. Amen. It's a process. So we'll start in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, everybody say times of refreshing, may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Everybody say times of restoration. Which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And so God spoke this before the world began through his prophets. He ordained a restoration. Amen. Promises, prophecies, processes for us. So Peter is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, at this time, they don't have a New Testament Bible at all. There's no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's no Acts. Dr. Luke recorded this, but it was later, after the fact. The day of Pentecost was a few days after the day of Pentecost. This was not, you know, no Bible written. Oh, they had all the Old Testament. So they took these things from the Old Testament as the Holy Spirit spoke and revealed them to him, and he released something in a prophetic statement that is very powerful. And that same statement has been released here in this church. And as a part of this church, that statement is for you personally. Amen. And for your family. And for this church family. So notice we said that there will be times of refreshing and times of restoration, meaning plural, and there will be many. So Satan, we said, is out to devastate yours and my life. And so his method of operations is to steal, kill, and destroy. The devastate means simply to destroy or ruin, to overwhelm or overpower. That's what devastate means. So we have to embrace this concept that whatever you may be going through right now is not too big for God to handle. Whatever you're going through right now is not too big, you know, physically, emotionally, relationally, you know, in your family, your finances, amen. Nothing's too big for God to handle. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too difficult for him. Why? Because he's a restorer, and he's a master restorer. And he's a turnaround specialist. Amen? So I want you to also notice as we look at this scripture, because we're going to chew on these. You should be chewing on these scriptures every day. I mean, chewing means you should be feeding on them, reading them, meditating them. Meditate means to mutter, mutter the word, or not mute it, stay muted up and just look at it. Chew it. Feed on it. Amen. You never chew food with your mouth closed. I'm talking about eat. I'm just eating in general. So you be getting things all over your chin. But you eat the word with your mouth, speaking it, and your ears feed it to your spirit. That's the way it works. That's why we encourage read these scriptures out loud, not just with your eyeballs, but with your mouth. Amen.
Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you want to read these and feed these and meditate on these scriptures. Amen. So I want you to notice also something, because as I was looking at it, I saw this. This is outstanding. The restoration of all things precedes the coming of the Lord. Now look at this phrase, whom heaven must receive. Can we put it up, or are you guys able to put it up, the scripture up, that scripture up? Whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things. So heaven has to keep Jesus back, because that word receive means retain. He has to be retained from coming back until, listen to this, must receive until the what? Time of restoration of how many things? Of all things. Look at that. Before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a major move of God to restore all things through to his people. Amen. Why? Because we said our Lord is coming back for what kind of church? A glorious church. Glorious church. That's a reference in Ephesians 5:27. Not a devastated church. Now, some people have checked out and said, well, I'm just going to wait until Jesus takes me away through the escape plan called the rapture. You're supposed to leave here victorious. You're supposed to leave here in faith. Not say, I'm tired. I'm ready to go. No, you ought to smile at all your family members and say, I'm finished. Bye-bye. And just leave your body. Amen. You shouldn't be hollering and screaming in some hospital room. And you shouldn't be hollering and screaming at your family members and just say, let me go. Let me go. And you shouldn't. That's not God's best. I know we've all seen some of that stuff. That's not God's best. You ought to be smiling and winking at your family, and they all gather around, see the glory of God on you, and then you just get out of here. But that's not until you're done. And most of us aren't even halfway done. So don't even be thinking about retiring and getting out of here. Amen. Now let's define the word restore again. I'm going to use, we did it in our handout from last week, which talks about the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. But this definition I'm giving you now is from W.E. Vines. I had it up last week, but I forgot to read it to you. So here it is. W.E. Vines, restoration. Number one, this is not in your notes, so you can write it in the back, the notes section, if you want to. Number one, to set in order. So part of restoration is setting things in order. Number two, repair. Means restoration means repair. Number three, restoration of estates to rightful owners. So property issues, personal property, real property issues be restored. Amen. Balancing of accounts. You can't forget our Father God is also a judge, and he's the one who renders judgment in a spiritual courtroom of heaven, and he's the one who is also our restorer. And when he says who will lay any charge against God's elect, it is God himself who justifies us and says, you elect, you have a right because of what Jesus did to healing. Amen. You have a right to prosper. Amen. Amen. You have a right to see your family saved. Amen. Because of what Jesus did, not because of what our righteousness or anything like that or our goodness. No, it's about him. We have a covenant with him. Amen. Amen. And he loves you as much as Jesus because of what Jesus did for you and me. That's why we praise him and honor him and put him, exalt him every service. Amen. Amen. And Sunday we'll take communion to remember him and celebrate him, rejoice about, because of what he did, we can be restored. Now, second definition, a little bit more on restore, not the word restoration, but just the word restore means to give back, to deliver, to a renewal of covenant broken, giving or bringing a person back, or to mend or to furnish completely. So when God restores, he gives back, he delivers, he renews the covenant that was broken. And you got to think about that, because sometimes restore may not be a common understood thing in your life. And so you got to kind of really wrap your mindset around restoration as part of your salvation package and your privileges and rights as a believer in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 23-27. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and caused you to come down for you to rain. The rain to come down for you, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor will be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years of the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Now, those are the major scriptures we are standing on. There's others with the handouts we gave that promise us what? Restoration. All right, the prophecy from the 2019 Supernatural Leadership Conference by Mark and Trent Hankins. In 2019 will come a measure of blessings that you've never seen. God is taking you from a small place of struggle and shame to a large place of abundance. There are greater doors, anointing, and blessings. Now, you should be reading this every day. Amen. The gospel go around the world. Jesus is your shepherd, and he's leading you to a new place you have prepared, a new place for you to be refreshed. Receive the word. That's our action. Go in the spirit and in prayer. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Pastor Cynthia mentioned it earlier. And everything will be enlarged for you. Declare that 2019 is a year of restoration. So that's for you and I to declare. Everybody say it. 2019 is a year of restoration. Now, come on, let's say it like we mean it. Say 2019 is a year of restoration. God is bringing me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and refreshing. You would say that. 2019 is a year of receiving double for my trouble. So if the word from God says to say that, then you say that. Amen? Don't just stare at it. Look at it. No, declare it. He told us to declare it. And that's not tipping through the tulips and being passive about it. That means boldly declare it from your heart of faith. I mean, create that and change the atmosphere of your house to be that of restoration. All right, let's look at Dr. Jerry Savelle. My word is at work with you, so be at peace. The works of your adversary are about to cease. That's enough to shout and rejoice over. He thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. So what is he doing? He's turning things around because he's a turnaround. It's never over until I've had my say. That's why I'm called the truth in the way. I watch over my word when you choose to stand. I bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Praise God. Now, when you reread it every day and do it every day, you refresh yourself to that word. You refresh and renew yourself in that word. So I'm giving you a lot of practical stuff tonight. Now, seven things I want you to to think about. Well, let's go a little bit further in the handout, and then I'll give you seven things. Our Father God is ready to restore everything our adversary, the devil, has stolen from us, to turn away devastation in our life to restoration. If you're not convinced on that, you need to stay in that word until you're fully, completely persuaded and convinced that he is ready and willing to restore everything. That gets rid of all the how. How are you going to do it, Lord? This looks like ruin. This looks like it'll never turn around. No, 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 no. You got to get back in the word until it becomes real to you. Okay? All right? And then and a large restoration. But in order to do that, we must have someone declare what? Restoration. Now, we read it last week. God wants to do a new thing. And he's telling us what this new thing is, because it goes all the way down from Isaiah 42:9 all the way down to verse 22. He said, the new thing I want to do is restore you. Amen. And some people look at awe and wonder and say, oh, really? Wow. No, he said, you got to declare it. Like I'm declaring it to you. And we declare it as he has declared it to us. And he said, say, restore. So you think about it, your day should be peppered with the words restore or restoration all throughout your day. Not just every once in a while, and then you go 3 days and there's no saying nothing. No, your day should be salted and peppered with the words restore. Amen? Because he said nobody's acting on it. Nobody's saying restore. The first act of faith, usually the initial act of faith, is to say it. Amen. Say it. Remember, your faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth before it will ever be strong enough to move your mountain. We must create, just slot there for it, the atmosphere and our attitude reference to the word of restoration. We got to create an attitude of restoration. We have a restoration mindset. What's on your mind? God's restoring all things in my life. He's restoring the joy of my salvation. If you're not talking about it yet, then it's not in you enough yet. And you haven't received that word of restoration fully, appropriately as of yet. That ought to be your response. He's restoring all things to me. My friends call. What's he doing? Well, he's restoring things. He's turning around things. He's a turnaround specialist. He's a master. God is my master restorer. And we both get to rejoicing over it. Amen. I'm helping you tonight. I'm just get deeper in this thing. So please understand that we will not experience restoration just because we read about it in God's word or hear it preached or taught. I don't care if you highlight it on YouVersion. Thank God for that highlighter on the app. If you highlight and save it, it doesn't mean anything unless you work that word. You got to work that word. Amen. In God's word, just because you read about it in God's word or you heard it preached or taught, the next step is to declare it. Isaiah 40, 22. Can you put that one up there, please? Isaiah 42, 22. You got to declare it. So go back and examine how much have I been declaring restoration in my day's experience since we've had this word in our lap for 3 weeks now. How much are you saying restore? Are you saying it to your bills? Restore my financial well-being and wholeness. I call all these bills paid in full. I'm fully restored in my accounts. Take your checkbooks out. I'm fully restored. You've had some financial losses here, perhaps, or setbacks, perhaps, over the. Have you written them down and spoken over those things and said what? God told us what to say. Restore. Amen. Remember, I sent a text out saying, write down the things that have been taken by the devil, stolen by the devil, lost. You've lost because of the works of the devil, you know, wrongfully or whatever. Your covenant with God is, he is a God of restoration. So that's part of your covenant rights and privileges. But covenant is legal. It's legal business with God. He said, if you're not serious about it, then if you don't write it down, if you don't say anything about it, then you don't give me nothing to work with legally on your behalf. Are you listening to me? We can just say, well, this is a nice word, and this is great, but you got to work this word. Because remember, miracles you don't just wish for. We talk about it, we pray about it, but you don't just wish for it. You work a miracle. God is a miracle worker. There is the working of miracles, but how do you do it? There's work involved, not wishing. You got to work it. Amen. Look at this. Look at it again. But the people robbed and plundered. I mean, that's a picture of some people getting stolen from. And some of them snared in holes. Devastation, right? And they're hidden in prison houses for their prey, and no one delivers and plunder, and no one says, go to the last part, restore. He said, just give me that word, I'll go to work. Now remember, you are to live by faith every day. The just shall what? Live by faith. Not just every once in a day. Every day. So if this is the promise word of God for us in this season, this year, if this is the word from God, the Lord, to us this year, you got to mix faith with it. Because this is what we got to live by. We don't live by what we feel or see. We live by faith. Amen? So that means the first initial act of faith behind believing that word, remember we talked about it last week, 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe is prophets, and Mark operates in the office of a prophet and teacher. Jerry Savelle does too. Believe is prophets, and so shall you what? Prosper. So if you trust God and the word of God and the word from God through the men of God who have stood in the office of a prophet and declared this. Believing is a verb. It's an action word. Faith is action. You can't mentally assent this and just say, okay, yeah, I see, that's nice. No, what are you doing? You got to believe it. And you got to act on it. The first essential act is to say it. He said, say restore. So what do? You say restore. I mean, we can have the some of you ladies that, you know, are probably used to cheering. It lead us in a cheer. R-E-S-T-O-R-E. Restore. Restore. We might do that. I mean, by Resurrect Sunday. Restore, restore. Maybe Evan can lead us. Or I don't know. Don't mean to call you out there, but amen. But I'm serious about that. You ought to be doing that in your house. Amen. The next step is declare it. So we have to stay focused and faithful to charge the atmosphere around us with faith and maintain a spirit and attitude of faith. Now, write these seven things down if you're ready, and then we're going to watch a video from Brother Copeland about something he said about 2019. This is another prophet and teacher of God, but before we show you that, let me give you seven things here. Number one, you have to proclaim it. Number two, you have to pray it. That's why Pastor Spencer was right on point. She said, you got to take those scriptures and pray them. Pray the word. pray in the Spirit about that word. You got to pray it. You have to commit it to your prayer life. Number three, you have to profess it. That means it has to come through your lips from your heart of believing to receive. Number four, you have to protect it. Because if the word is not acted upon appropriately, then Satan comes to steal and take away that word from your heart. And then it's just an emotional experience you just had when you got excited about the idea, which is a God idea, of restoration. Number five, you have to practice the word and the instructions concerning it. You have to practice the word. Now, you know I'm usually literal, so they're all going to start with P. So get your P's ready. So you have to proclaim it. You have to pray it. You have to profess it. You have to protect it. You have to practice it. What instruction do I practice today? Every time they go to band practice, baseball practice, soccer practice, whatever kind of practice, they practice. Your practice is every day from the Holy Spirit, who is your coach. He's your life coach. And he tells you, what word do I need to practice today? Some days it's been like two scriptures, and the Lord set me free with those two scriptures, got me into faith for that day to stand and stay in faith, stay focused, and stay faithful. Amen. Amen. Number six, praise God for it. That's why we gave the order of the day last week when we said that when we're fasting, we're going to rejoice. We need to spend time thanking and praising God. Because you remember and you value when you thank. You give genuine thanks from the heart to God. You remember what he promised. You remember what was prophesied. And you value it. You don't just throw it to the side and say, well, this is another prophecy. This is another tongues interpretation. This is another service. And your expector is way down in a ditch somewhere. You got to praise God for it. Because if you believe that you receive this word of restoration, just like when Brother Hagin was on that deathbed, the Holy Spirit told him, if you believe you receive, Mark 11:24, when you prayed, you would thank me for it. If you believe that you received, that you, God is restoring all things in your life, you would thank him for it. You would praise him for it. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. And then you preach it. You put it in conversations. If you're a husband and wife, you talk about restoration. What are you doing? You're creating an atmosphere and an environment in your home, in the car, of restoration. The devil doesn't want this stuff restored to us, friends. But instead of fighting back, you got to faith him back. And put the faith seal up. Amen. All right. Do you have it? The video? Go ahead and click it on. Move it to 40:34. Now, just going to watch a few minutes of things from Brother Copeland. I got the notes so you can get the afterwards. But pay attention to this prophet of God. He's talking about 2000. This was from New Year's Eve. A service at Eagle Mountain International Church, 2018, December 13th, over into before New Year's. So he was talking about 2019. It's the bottom one on the playlist, the last one. And then you just move it over to 34 and play it. Move it over to 34 minutes and start playing. So he looks nice, right? Suit and tie. Go back just a little bit. Yeah. Right there. Okay, go ahead, play. You got it on 34? I know you got skills to get it stopped there. Okay, turn it up.
Well, verse 8, Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Take us as your family. Just make a little note right up there. Take us as your family, your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. That word terrible is not used in the negative sense. It is an awesome display of power that I will do among you. You think what he did back then is all he can do? You think that's the end of that covenant? No! We are his inheritance. We are his family. Come on! I've had the Lord talk to me about this. He talked to me about this a few years ago. I wrote it down. It was on my birthday, December the 6th in 2014. And it just rose up on the inside of me. And he said, Kenneth, enter into that covenant with me now. And I've been covenanted to him over this 10th verse ever since then. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory be to Jesus. I said, hallelujah to God, hallelujah. And we're going into a higher level of it in 2019. And it's roaring and going headlong into 2020. And 2020 is a very, very special time. What about this 2019? How can the marvels and the wondrous works take place? What brings these wonderful works and miracles? What causes these things to be manifest? First of all, there must be a higher order of prayer coming forth out of the family. Yes, sir. Intercession. Petition and supplication for the lost. Much prayer. Much calling forth, much calling things that be not as though they were. Praying for the lost, reaching into the heart of God and asking him for the nation. 2019 must be a year of great intercession and witnessing outside the walls of the church building. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do signs and wonders. I'll do these marvelous works, saith the Lord, if you'll take me to the center, if you'll take me to the streets, give me an opportunity to reveal myself. You keep ringing the dinner bell of healing, and I'll draw the people. This building and other church buildings won't hold the people. But you can't just sit here inside this place and beg for miracles. I'm going to require you, saith the Lord, to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. Most of the people in my ministry, saith the Lord, most of them got healed on their own faith. Be it done unto you as you have believed. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. I'm requiring more of those of you, older children in the family. I'm requiring more of you because you're older. It's time for you to help with the babies. It's time for you to see to it that the babies get an opportunity to know me, saith the Lord. I'll require it. But you'll be rewarded beyond your wildest dream because you'll see miracles under your own hand. You'll see things happen that you've only dreamed about happening because the time has come. And just the way the great healing revival hit this earth in 1948, 49, 50, and it was so easy. Because the miracles were happening in the streets and they were happening in tents and they were happening all over this United States. Well, those days are here again. It's time for it. It's time. If you get out there where the people are, you will be shocked at how easy the miracles will come and how easy they will flow. And people that have no idea about me or anything about my word will come running to those of you that will spend time in intercessory prayer. I'm not talking about hours and hours. I'm talking about minutes a day. I'm talking about just give me time. Just give me part of your morning. Just give me part of your evening. And pray in the Spirit and intercede for the lost. And I'll see to it, saith the Lord, that 2019 is the most startling year of your life. I'll see to it that your body begins to renew and your youth begins to renew. And all of a sudden, pains and aches that have been there for years will disappear. Glory to God. When you get out and begin to minister to those that never heard about me, saith Jesus. You call on me, and I'll call on you. And together, we'll see it come to pass. Together, we'll see it happen. Together. Together. And you will begin to see the desired change begin to slowly take place in the United States. In the political arena, you'll begin to see change. When you begin to pray and intercede.
Okay. We'll show more of that later. It goes a little bit further along, but praise God. Did everybody receive that? See that? All right, so that should touch everybody's heart tremendously. Now, I want you to put up Psalms 51:12, Brother Kristen, and then we're going to hold 13 up there too. So, and again, this is something we want you to pray for every day, and I just want to just reflect on what he said, Now remember, why did God inspire David to utter this in a prayer, and as part of our restoration promise that we can embrace and we can grab a hold of? He said, restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation. Remember, the your is his salvation. Now, what does his salvation do? We said it's personal, but it's not what? Private. The reason people don't share their faith or show Jesus or witness for Jesus is because their joy is gone. Now, Smith Wigglesworth said when he was in the plumbing business, and in the beginning he was born again and he prayed for his children and they got healed, and he went to a lady's house and she kept running in there looking at him as he was fixing some plumbing things under her sink. And she asked him, you know, what's that glow on your face? You just look so happy. And he said, you know, it's because of Jesus. You know, he prayed for his children. He shared his faith. He was showing it, then he shared it. It's a simple thing they do in kindergarten, show and tell. Right? And so you got to show that joy on you, and then people will want that. And they will want you to tell them what's going on with you. He had the joy. His joy is full. Then he turned around and prayed with her, and she got the same joy because she just got gloriously born again. And then he said, the way you keep this is you give it away. How are we going to keep it? See, we want the joy so we can be happy and not have emotional challenges. No, that's the wrong way to think about it. He's going to restore the joy of his salvation in us, so that we can do the work of witnessing. Now turn to verse 13. Then, once I'm restored in that joy, then I will do what? Teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. The reason we need the restoration of joy of his salvation is so that when we look at the end of the year, we're not going weeks and weeks and days and months on end without even talking to anybody about Jesus, sharing our faith, or even inviting people to church. Amen. It should significantly bother us that we don't invite people to church, especially on Fifth Sunday. Amen. Are you listening to me? And we're coming to church, but we don't have no joy about our church. Or the gospel, or about Jesus. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes. See, we want God to do all the work, but he said, I'll restore your joy so you can teach transgressors and you can convert sinners. Amen. Everybody say hallelujah. All right, let's pick it up where we left off. We're at the third bullet from the bottom, the third black big bullet. So you and I should charge the atmosphere with restoration. These are the days of what? Restoration, and the season and year of restoration. So our Father God is restoring the church to the church, everything Satan has taken out of the church. And I would highlight that because that's what you need to be believing for. Get everything back. Get everything back. Jesus, our Lord, said to us, be of good cheer. John 16:33. So here's a good cheer. R-E-S-T-O-R-E. Restore. Get and keep your faith in motion. Those four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7, they said this powerful statement. We put it in there. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate of the Israelites was shut up, and Samaria had shut them up. They were besieged. They were in a famine. They were in devastation, so to speak. And they said to one another, why sit here until we die? Why sit here until we wait till Jesus comes back? Why sit here until we close the doors of the church? No. We're not sitting here to die. How did they get their motion started? How did their motion start? With their mouth. Our faith must move our mouth and be talking. Say what God's word says. Declare it, establish it, get it in motion, not just once, but morning and night and at noontime. Begin charging the air with restoration in your home. Get it in your spirit. Start shouting and declaring, restore, restore, restore. If your primary need is joy for your salvation, you need to be believing and standing and speaking those seven things we said, proclaiming it, praying it, profess it, protect it, practice the word and instructions concerning it, praise God for it, preaching it. Write down what the enemy has stolen, destroyed, and lost over the last year. If you got faith for more, keep going back. Some of you might have faith for a decade back, but at least get 5 years back. Get your faith going on the last 5 years, what's been lost, broken, stolen, devastated in your life. If it's your health, put it down. If it's your money, put it down. Being very practical tonight, but also very principled and spiritual. All right? And so grasp for it and declare, restore over those things in Jesus' name. Give our Father God, who is the master restorer and a turnaround specialist, something to work with. Remember, what you rehearse becomes your reality. Obviously, to conceive something in your spirit takes more than merely attending church. Thank God you're here and you attend church, but being at church is part of the battle, but it's not all the battle. It takes more than just reading the Bible once or twice a week or hearing a sermon once one time. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you can't conceive an image of it, if you don't see yourself being restored financially, it will never become a reality in your life. Now, I'm not talking about seeing with your eyeballs. I'm talking about seeing with the eye of your faith, having revelation for it. That's why we take the word and we meditate it. And meditation produces revelation, which equals results. That's why we want everybody engaged and immersed in these restoration scriptures. Every day until you see it. We look back there and see Sister Yolanda lit up because she sees that God's restoring all things for me. And she's not just being happy or hyped up. She actually sees in here. She conceives it in here. Amen? Because if you still ask, can he? How will he? You're not there yet. Then the image is not perfected yet. It's not clear. Revelation is crystal clear. You'll say, whoo, I got it. I see it. And it'll be easy like poking your finger through Jell-O, breaking that barrier. Amen? So you need to spend more time in the Word and more time in the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our coach. He's our minister of revelation. That's his primary ministry to you and me. It says in John 16:13 that when he comes, he will guide you in all truth and show you things to come. In other words, Holy Spirit, help me see this. Help me get this. Pray in the Holy Ghost about this until he interprets inside of your spirit and lines things up so you can see it and you can conceive it and you can have it. Amen? So remember, symptoms, signs, and stressful situations have a purpose by the devil to move us from faith into fear. So he's always going to bring symptoms. He's always going to show signs, no money in the bank, check accounts low. You might get an overdraft notice or something like that, or stressful situations, particularly with your family, relationship stuff, gets stressful, gets tense, right? He does that to get you out of faith into fear. Know what he's trying to do to you. Don't let him dupe you every time. He's going to bring his same bag of tricks, one-way road. He's going to bring them to your mind, so you're going to start thinking about the symptoms, then talking about them. You're going to be thinking about the signs and then talking about them. You're going to walk around the house looking like a swollen toad frog in a West Texas storm, blinking eyes, saying, "What's going on? I'm not being restored." And then you just blow up. Well, he's got you out of faith into fear already. Fear contaminates our faith. It breaks our focus, and it disrupts our faithfulness. Say it again. Fear contaminates our faith, breaks our focus, and disrupts our faithfulness. So to stay positive, we're almost done, and productive in a negative world, we must make a decision of quality. That means I'm going to get this word, even if it takes me to my grave. No turning back. Don't let go of it. Amen? To go with the flow of the world is to live with limitations. That means same old, same old, same old money, but God says he's going to do something new. You ought to be expecting something new and decide, I'm going to get new stuff. You got to need a new heart, new kidney, new livers, new pancreas, whatever. Get it. It's new. It's the time to get it. Amen. Learn to think big and bigger than you are do right now. Expand that bowl. Enlarge your tents. Enlarge your borders. Stretch. That's why this is a season of stretching. God is stretching us and causing us and calling us to go to a higher level of sacrifice and commitment. Why? Because it's for a reason. It's not just temporary. It's eternal. He's stretching all of our faith for a reason. Don't get out of the game and say, well, I don't want to play hard like that. I don't want to pray hard. I don't want to profess hard. I don't want to go hard. We always say, go big or go home. And God says, go big. Think big. Third, renew your mind. He said, be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Ephesians 4:23 tells us to have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. That means you got to get rid of stinking thinking. As much as you shower and comb your hair, you should be renewing your mind. You can think of that to correlate it to that. If you hygiene your body and your head every day, then you need to renew your mind every day. Don't leave to work or school with yesterday's thoughts, because they will get stale and stinky. Oh, this is good stuff tonight. See, your response. This is your responsibility. Yours and our responsibility. My responsibility to do regularly, not God's responsibility. You and I maintenance our thinking. All right, delays. Let's close up with this thought. Why do they happen? How do we deal with them? Because they do come. You know, we get a word, and when's the manifestation of it coming? And some people say how, and some people cry when. Some of y'all might have done that. But so when you look at the scripture, sources of delays in our lives are threefold. God, second, Satan, third, you or yourself. It could be that God has orchestrated a delay in your life because he's arranging a divine appointment up ahead. Now, we don't have time to go through these scriptures, but go back and read these scriptures. You'll see when the Holy Spirit forbid it, Paul and his team to go into different places. But he had a setup later in verse 9 and 10 of the Macedonian call. He said, I have a plan, and that's not it. Your job is to believe. His job is to do the miracle. See, God stood between them and their plans, forbidding them to preach in Asia because he had another plan. The timing was not right for Paul and his team at that moment, but it came right when the call came from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. So God had a divine appointment waiting for us. Everybody say, God has a divine appointment waiting for us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to expect them. Expect them. Delays can be a result of being hindered by Satan. The word hinder means to impede, impeded, or detain. We see Satan was delaying or hindering Paul in his ministry at Thessalonica. Some say it's Thessalonica or Nica, but it's the Satan entered, created delays here. So sometimes we got to deal with the devil. Who's stopping up, blocking up, holding back money, holding back stuff? You got to deal with them in the house. Harassing your children, you got to deal with them. Third, you could be the cause of delays for various reasons. Now, if you could, Kristen, put up Haggai 1, 6, and 7. Haggai 1, 6, and 7. Pastor, you might help him find that passage. I want everybody to see that. Haggai chapter 1, 6, and 7 says, he was telling them in chapter 1 that they needed to consider their ways. Now, I'm going to turn there into King James, but if you can just find it and just go ahead and put it up on the screen. Haggai, Haggai, chapter 1, chapter 1. So they were supposed to bring, build, get, bring, and build. Same pattern we do today. Get, bring, build. We co-labor with God. Amen? And he says, verse 6, you sow much, you bring in little. 1:6, verse 6. And but you have not enough. You drink and were not filled with drink. You clothe, but there's none to warm. You earn bad wages with earn wages and put it whole bag with holes. Then the Lord said of hosts said, consider what? The devil's ways? Your children's ways? Whose ways? Our ways. Amen. See, these people, I got it written down there. These people had been in exile, but God delivered them and brought them back to their homeland, and he restored them. So you can see this is a picture of restoration. And he instructed them to rebuild a temple that was lying in ruins. He's told us to build. Amen. Spiritually, that's why we emphasize the growing up and the leadership development and you know, the things we've been doing with ministry. We're trying to build the people. Amen. Build the body numerically by bringing people and build the church financially by bringing and building the church structure. Amen. I want you to see this, because sometimes delays is because of us. And note, when the enemy attacks people and mocks our living by faith enough, then we lose our focus. So we come in and we get all in, but then everybody gets broken focus. We just get relaxed. We don't get bring and build anymore. It takes us weeks and months to go through a training program. We don't get it after the first session because it's not valuable to us. We had training sessions. We had 10 weeks of it. And then it's not valuable enough, so we don't retain the information. We don't study it like our life depended on it. And we don't value the things of God enough than our own personal things, so we don't study it. We can cause our own delay. Are you listening to me? See, you got to look at this assignment from God is high priority and high calling. If he's called you to sing, then you need to be practicing, preparing, and praying to be the best singer and music leader every Sunday that you're up here. Amen. If your calling is to serve in that capacity of an usher or hospitality or whatever, you need to be studying that role and responsibility and letting the Holy Ghost expand you and grow you and build you to where you're serving at a higher level. Because we said yesterday's excellence is tomorrow's, what, mediocrity. Amen. And sometimes we think, well, it's all on God or it's all on the devil. No, it could be on us. We're not doing our job. Remember, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll what? But he told us to get, bring, build. He told us to grow up, to grow leaders. But when you got basically a handful or one person doing all the sessions, I should not be doing sessions anymore. Amen. Because people should be growing up to be able to take the baton and run with it. Transfer that leadership down and then bring other people in and up. Not a handful of people should be bringing people to church. Why? We all should be going, getting, bringing, and building. See, we talk about obedience, but we say, well, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I do this. But that's not the whole scope of it. Everybody was shouting earlier. Are we still shouting? Okay. See, our vision could become blurred, and we could eventually give up before the manifestation comes. And quite frankly, that's what we've done a lot of times. Therefore, we need to be aware of three particular things. Write these three things down. They're very important because we're going to close with this, these last little thoughts inside here. Disinterest, discouraged, and dissatisfaction. Say it with me. Disinterest, discouraged, and dissatisfaction. See, when you become disinterested in what God has said, the vision he has given you or us, apathy sets in. It's not my word. Pastor gave that word. Pastor preached that word. Remember, Paul saw the vision. Go back to read the scriptures in Thessalonians. He saw the vision, but he said, God, they all said, God has called us to go to Macedonia. See, when you think like it's us instead of me, then there's no apathy. This is our church. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You become passive. You yield to mockery. When you're not interested in what God's saying and doing, you begin to pursue your own desires and dreams and become self-centered. Listen to your conversations with other people. Is it about what the Lord's doing, what the Lord wants to do, or is it about what you're doing and what you want to do? See, when this happens, when you become self-centered, when this happens, your life becomes unfruitful, unfocused, and unfaithful. Secondly, you become discouraged. When you start to believe that what God told you is never going to happen, it looks impossible. Let's just say a health situation, a financial situation. If you look at the ashes of your life too long, Satan will convince you that you cannot build it back. You experience dissatisfaction anytime you compare waiting season to someone else's due season. That means God has a waiting season. Because it's seed time and harvest to someone else's due season. They're getting their harvest, why I ain't get mine? You get dissatisfied. You become dissatisfied while waiting for God to bring past his promises in your life. If you continue to focus on dissatisfaction, you feel you'll give up on you, how you feel, the dissatisfaction you feel, excuse me, you'll give up on God's plans. Then you try to make them happen in your own strength. But God's timing is always better than ours. See, Haggai means festive spirit. God sent the prophet Haggai to bring joy back to the people so that they could build the temple. Why does he want us to have joy? Why does he want us to have the money? So we can do the assignment. We can get the job done. We can't do nothing with no money. Amen. We had to buy in. We had to even buy in envelopes. Cost money. Amen. You have to support the ministers with what? Not blessing. Bless you, Pastor. No, with money. But a lot of us don't see that. Sometimes we say, well, God's going to give me all of my stuff so I can be taken care of, but we don't look at the bigger picture. Amen. Preach it real good, Pastor. You're doing real good tonight. Hallelujah. So you bring it back, in this case, our church. If there's anything you need when you are disinterested, discouraged, and dissatisfied, it's a word from God. And God gave us a word. You have to surround yourself with that word. You have to submerse and immerse yourself in that word. You create a festive spirit in your home. You rejoice boldly and joyfully, lead cheers of restoration. Make up some songs. Some of y'all can write songs about restoration. See, we develop the art of waiting by utilizing joyful, confident expectation daily. If you don't walk out of your house, going to school or to work or wherever your assignment is for that day, you should go back in the house and get your expector up on high. That means you ought to walk out. I'm expecting a miracle to happen any day now. I'm anticipating, intensely anticipating my restoration due season coming right now. See, expectant is a key word in the development of the art of waiting. Wait expectantly for the Lord, and he will rescue and save you. You got the scripture there. And then lastly, this is very important. This is very important, and we'll pick it up here next week. Don't get offended at God. See, what Satan's ultimate purpose in stealing from you and me is to get us offended at God. We're looking at the loss, and we're losing out on our love for God, and we get offended, take up the offense at God. See, he does this to delay our victory that's already promised, that's already purchased for us in the Lord. See, when you're offended at God, you're not in his presence. Go back to the beginning of the Bible. What did they do when they sinned and got offended, mad because they fell? They ran and hide from God's presence. God had to, where are you, Adam? What did Cain do? He fled from the presence of God. What do people do today when they're offended? They don't come to church. They flee from the presence of God. They don't want to get into the presence of God. And if you're not in his presence, you're not in position for restoration. Because go back and look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21 again. We're not going to read it for time. But he said, times of refreshing come from what? The presence of the Lord. Then that sets up the rest times of restoration of all things. So if you stay out of his presence, you don't get the restoration. Some people want God to just mail it to them or FedEx it to them. He's not doing that. He said, get in my presence, and in my presence, you will set up your restoration of all things. It's only in his presence that restoration comes. Because when God shows up, he's loaded with everything conceivably good. He's loaded. And his presence comes walking through. He gives everybody their stuff. Amen. Let's stand. Let's thank God for his presence. Let's thank God for his goodness. Thank him for his word. Did y'all get something out of that tonight? Thank you for letting me go a little bit longer. But I had to work that with you and give you